You're listening to Healthy Living with Eric Sue podcast episode number 120.
Hey guys, did you hear my epic podcast about getting unstuck from a health rut? Learn the four powerful ways and download the free cheat sheet handout. It's episode 106, so check it out. And if you find value in it, share it with a friend. Hey, it's Eric Sue. I quickly wanted to thank all my longtime listeners for your continued support. I also wanted to say hi to any first-time listeners. No matter who you are, I am committed to providing you the best health and wellness information possible. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend. Also, rate and review this show on iTunes or Stitcher so more people can find us. Let's keep this movement growing. Thanks again, and now on to the show.
Health tips, wellness advice, no hype. Welcome to Healthy Living with Eric Sue, the show that inspires, motivates, and educates you towards your healthiest life. And now your host, Eric Sue.
Hey guys, Eric Sue here. Welcome to another episode of Healthy Living with Eric Sue. We have a passionate and outgoing health coach with us today. Her name is Kara Usher. We will be discussing tips and strategies to make healthy eating a lifestyle. So without any delay, let me introduce you all to Kara. Kara, are you ready to make it happen?
Oh, I'm ready.
Kara Usher is a certified holistic health coach and integrative nutritionist. She believes that nutrition is about nourishing the body with real whole foods so that you are consistently fulfilled to live life as the best version of yourself. She doesn't believe in calorie counting, dieting, or restrictions. She empowers her clients to live a balanced lifestyle through holistic well-being by creating a positive relationship with the mind, body, spirit, and food. Kara received her training from the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, where she studied a variety of dietary theories and practical lifestyle coaching methods. With her knowledge, together you co-create personalized action plans based on your goals to move you towards your ideal vision of health within your unique body, lifestyle, preferences, and resources. Carl, that was just a little bit about who you are. Could you share with our audience a little bit more and how you got started?
Yes, of course. Well, you know, I first got started with Institute for Integrative Nutrition through my own health journey. I have had, you know, a few health issues in my past, like genetic high cholesterol and thyroid issues and skin issues and allergies. And a few, I started doing research and, you know, eventually just felt the form and the way that food can really change your lifestyle. And for me, it was an eye-opener. And when I found the way how food was really medicine for me, I fell in love and I wanted to show the world and teach individuals that they can feel the best that you in your own body just by making a few simple changes. So, you know, that's really how I came to be a health coach, just wanting to share what I have learned with others.
Excellent. And it's really become a lifestyle for you, hasn't it?
Yes. I mean, you know, it's funny for me to think a few years back when, I mean, I consider myself a generally healthy person, but looking back now, I realize how my lifestyle is so much, you know, I don't even think twice. It's just easy for me to live the way that I live now.
Right, absolutely. We'll dive into a lot more of our topic today, but before that, what's one cool or unique fact about yourself? My audience really loves hearing this.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's a cool fact, I think, is I was born and raised in South Africa. I actually only became a U.S. resident a year ago, but I have been living here in the States for about 16 years now, but I think that's a pretty cool fact.
Very interesting. I've heard many great things about that, South Africa, and what's the best memory you have of that, by the way?
You know, I think for me is being on safari and being in the wild, and it's funny because some people, you know, when they hear that I'm from South Africa, that's the first thing they think about is the wild animals. And, you know, I was very lucky to have grown up in a family who enjoyed it as well. So, you know, quite often we'd get to go travel a couple hours and go to the wild. And those are some of my best memories because it's so unique and something that you can't experience very often in life.
Very good. I was going to say that these zoos that are around here, like Lincoln Park Zoo, or for example, maybe this San Diego Zoo where you are. By the way, Cara's in San Diego, but no worries. You can always reach her. But I'm sure these zoos do not compare to what you have experienced, right?
No, no. You know, I'm not the biggest fan of zoos just because of where I come from.
Very cool. Excellent. All right. Well, let's dive into this topic. After talking with you a few days ago, you know, I think tips and strategies to make healthy eating a lifestyle fit who you are. And so if you could share with our audience some tips, let's get right to it.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, these are a few tips and strategies that I have incorporated into my lifestyle and have just been, you know, now they're just easy for me. But that being said, it's little steps at a time. And I really try to focus and tell my clients that, you know, really spend energy and your focus when you are trying to take and make any changes in your life. And just make them simple, step-by-step changes that will eventually lead to small victories that will eventually become a lifestyle for you. So definitely keep these in mind, that in mind while I'm talking about these strategies. But the first and most important one for me personally, and that I always keep on top of my list when I'm telling my clients, is say no to processed foods. And, you know, there are a great amount of processed foods. Most of them are found in snack forms or, you know, of course, at fast food restaurants. So, you know, I really try to give tips on how to stay away from processed foods because it's easier said than done. We all know that, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a few things that I off the top of my head that I like to share, and that's choosing your protein or snack bars, for instance, wisely. A lot of them are loaded with unnecessary sugars, and I know for a lot of people, those are quick go-to snacks that we think are healthy, maybe. So that's something that I always like to say, and as a rule of thumb, always try to choose a bar or snack that has less than 9 grams of sugar. So it's important to read labels. So that's kind of, you know, the top, I think, tip there. And just try to make healthy swaps. And that is my favorite way to look at eating healthy or making healthy into a lifestyle, is clean eating swaps. You know, we can say, I want to eat better or I want to eat clean, but how do you actually go by doing it? So I don't know about you, Eric, but I know I have cravings, you know, all here and there that I'm really craving something. And generally it's those processed or sugary or salty foods.
Sure. I do.
So
I agree.
You do? Yeah. And so, you know, I know that for everyone, we all have those cravings no matter what they are. And so I have healthy swaps that I always share. And those are, I can go through, you know, the whole list of them all, but just a few that I keep is as simple as grains. When it comes to pasta and pizza, I know, you know, everyone's different. Some people crave the carbs. And for that, I like to say, you know, try to swap out rice for quinoa. Or nowadays, there's even cauliflower rice that's pre-chopped up for us. For pasta, I like to switch out spaghetti squash or make zucchini noodles. You don't even need to buy a fancy spiralizer. You can just cut them with a knife. I like to say swap out tortillas or bread for lettuce wraps because it's, you know, it's a little healthier there and you're still getting the same feeling of eating that grain or that carb. For oils, instead of having canola oil, you can swap it out for coconut oil or extra virgin olive oil. For condiments, I always like to say swap out herbs and swap out, you know, instead of processed ketchup and mustard and those type of items, you can use herbs and spices like turmeric, cayenne pepper, and basil, and you can actually even make your own little ketchup. I have a wonderful recipe on my blog. Yeah, and
that's
so, you
actually,
know, there's...
Not to cut you off, Carl, that's actually pretty interesting. I I like the idea of using spices and herbs in my cooking, as well as anything to put on lettuce, salads, and so forth. Could you share with us, not to cut your train of thought there, but share with us some salad ideas?
Oh, yes, definitely. I live for salads, Eric. I have a salad at least once a day. And, you know, from my biggest, I think, tip there, you know, with for salads is to just use as many colors as you can. Colors in carrots, radishes, bell peppers, you know, just add in as many colors and even, you know, cucumbers. And then, you know, once you have your base, your favorite base, whether it's spinach or arugula or just a mixed greens, top as many colors as you can find in your fridge with a healthy fat like avocado and a lean protein like chicken breast or turkey. Or even if you're a fan of tuna, canned tuna, you can make into a nice, real healthy tuna salad with avocado. And it's as simple as that.
You know, I was going to say, too, in addition to that, obviously, choosing organic meat, like organic chicken or just regular chicken, do you have any preference to that?
Yeah, that was going to be one of my other tips and strategies is, you know, it's so important to, whenever possible, choose organic. And my biggest tip is, you know, if you are a meat eater, to really try to reduce eating meat, you know, maybe to twice a week if you can. But when you are eating meat, grass-fed is the best way to go. For chicken, I always recommend, you know, organic, hormone-free chicken is the best way. And when it comes to fish, wild-caught.
Yeah, definitely there's definitely reasons for all that, right?
Oh, yes. Because, you know, I mean, it's so scary, but, you know, 1.2 billion pounds of pesticides is sprayed, you know, a year, but only a small, I think it's about 0.01% actually reach the intended target, the bugs, you know, and when you think of that, you know, at least one pesticide from remains on 63% of commonly purchased produce, even after it's washed. So, you know, that's really terrifying, and that comes, those statistics I read on the Environmental Working Group website. And, you know, so it's really important to choose organic because you don't know, you know, even after washing some of those fresh fruits and veggies.
Yeah.
So I'm a huge advocate for organic.
Yeah. Are you, curious here, are you a gardener, and do you advocate people to grow their own?
Oh, yes, Eric. You know, I don't have a little garden, but I do grow some fresh herbs at home. Mm-hmm. Basil and mint, they're my favorite to have at home always. But as soon as I am able to have a garden, I can't wait to garden one day. But I'm a huge advocate for that because, you know, then you know exactly what it takes to grow a veggie or a fruit. And you know how hard it may be. And then it's local. It's right there. And so, yeah, I definitely recommend, if you're able to start growing your own fresh fruits and veggies.
Very good. Excellent. All right, keep going. You're doing great.
Okay. You know, and on that note, Eric, I always, always recommend to try to visit the farmer's market in your local area as much as possible, because that really is an easier way to get some of that fresh fruit and vegetables, and then you're supporting local farmers and seasonal produce, which is always really good to focus on. And another thing on the organic side of things, Eric, have you heard of the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15? I'm sure.
I have. Go ahead. Go right into it, Cara.
Yeah. So, you know, the Dirty Dozen and Clean 15, I think that's a really great way to go off when you're shopping at the grocery store. And for those of you who don't know what that is, the Dirty Dozen is a list of fruit and vegetables that are most heavily sprayed with pesticide. And on the other side, the Clean 15 are a list of fruits and vegetables that are least sprayed with pesticide. So when you're shopping, it's a good list to refer to when you're not sure, you know, oh no, there's no organic, you know, onions or whatever it may be. Then you can look at your, refer to your list. I keep it in my wallet. The Environmental Working Group actually has a printable one. You can print off their website. And you can look on your list. Okay, onion, they're on the Clean 15 list. So it's okay if I don't buy them organic. So I really recommend to listeners to download that or just even write it in their phone. And so it's a nice thing to have with you when you're out and about.
Yeah, absolutely. That Dirty Dozen and Clean 15 has been around for how many years now, would you say?
Oh, gosh, I don't even, so many years. So many years. I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah, yeah. And it's catching on, I have to say, because we were at a health fair and we actually posed that question, whether or not people knew the Dirty Dozen or could name any of the Dirty Dozen. And several people were able to, so that was good.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's hard to remember it all. That's why I like to keep it in the list. But it's just good to know, you know, that it's okay to eat some of those items non-organic. You know, for instance, asparagus, avocado, cabbage, mushrooms, onion, sweet potato, pineapple, mango, kiwi, and grapefruit. You know, if you think about it, most of the items that have a skin, they're a little more protected from those pesticides. Mm. So that's kind of one way to think of it.
Very good tip. Very good. I was going to say, you were going to name all of the Clean 15, weren't you?
I guess I could have. I missed a few.
That's okay. All right.
But it's most important to really know the Dirty Dozen.
Yeah, awesome. All right, keep going. What else you got?
Okay, so another tip that is, I think, really important, especially in today's day and age, I kind of mentioned earlier, but is to really work on reducing your sugar intake. You know, it's hard to do it all at once, but if you are taking it day by day and steps, you will eventually be able to make sugar less of an impact on your daily diet. And some ways to help you to reduce your sugar intake, because it's hard to realize how much sugar you're actually consuming in a day.
Mm-hmm.
So my first tip is to really learn how to read labels. And it's as simple as just looking at the back and seeing how many servings is in the item you're about to drink or eat, and how many grams of sugar. And so just really know, you know, what, like I always say, per serving, I really try hard to aim for 9 grams or less, 10 to 9 grams or less of sugar per serving. And then also know the sugar aliases. Mm. Sugar can have many different names, right,
mm-hmm.
that most of us can't pronounce and don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, high fructose corn syrup, of course, is the number one processed sugar that we want to stay away from. It's incredibly inflammatory for our bodies. Dried cane syrup is another one. Invert sugar is another one. And, you know, you may just look at the ingredient list and you just see all these names and you're unsure of what they are. So just really study up and know sugar aliases. And when you're in a pinch, just look for unsweetened. You know, iced tea, something that you can sweeten yourself at home with maybe some fruit instead of buying a, you know, little iced tea bottle that actually has 23 grams of sugar in it when it should just be, could be drank plain. And also don't drink your sugars. It's so easy to drink a, you know, an enhanced water or, like I said, iced tea or energy drinks, or especially these bottled coffee and smoothies or juices. They can contain up to, you know, 8 to 12 tablespoons each. And, it's, you know, we don't think that we're drinking sugar, but we really can be easily.
Right. Just real quick here, Carl, if I wanted to make sure everyone understands, 1 tablespoon is equivalent to, is it 4 grams?
Yes, yes.
And so when they look at a food label, it says 8 grams or 9 grams or 10 grams or whatever. I want to be able to have them do that conversion if they think tablespoons versus grams, right? Just to visualize.
Yes.
A packet of sugar on a table at a restaurant, those packets equal 4 grams, I believe, correct?
Mm-hmm, you're right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you meant by packets, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I just want to be clear.
Yes, yes. So, yeah, that's exactly what I meant. Thank you for clearing that up, Eric. And, you know, it's exactly true. Like you said, you know, we don't really know how to measure a gram, but if you think of it in tablespoons, it's a little easier to understand.
Very good.
And then, yes, you know, so when just also reducing your sugar intake doesn't mean that you have to turn to sugar-free items like diet soda, sugar-free candy, or like you mentioned, those sugar packets. You know, so if you're looking to sweeten up anything you're eating or drinking, a few tips I have for you as a healthy swap is to use something like vanilla extract, cinnamon, nutmeg, or cacao or vanilla powder to sweeten your coffee instead of, you know, adding in sugar because that is processed. So those are a few little tips I have. And if you are somebody that really likes sweet drinks, try to maybe make a homemade flavored water, you know, add in some strawberries or my favorite lemon and mint. And it really can make a huge difference in your day.
Just real quick here, not to cut you off again, but what would you say to someone who is really trying hard to stay away from pop, and then they, you know, tell you that I'm drinking diet instead?
Yeah.
For me, I'm 100% against pop, but how would you coach, or how, what would your advice for someone who has that struggle maybe?
Yeah, definitely, Eric. You know, I come across a lot of people who have that struggle and, you know, even say, I know I'm addicted and I know it's bad for me, but I just crave it so much. And my number one swap there that I always recommend is to even try something like kombucha. I mean, it is healthy, and granted, kombucha can be pricey. So maybe just give one a try and maybe even drink half of it, because it has that fizzy bubbliness and it kind of fills you up and it's really good for you. Another great option is there's a drink called Zevia, which is Z-E-V-I-A. And it's found in a health food store, or I believe it's even in a general store. And it's a healthier kind of soda option without having the soda or the fake ingredients.
Okay.
Another one, Eric, I don't know if you've heard of, is ginger brew. But
go ahead.
Yeah, ginger brew is, you know, it kind of helps to satisfy that, you know, the pop craving, but it definitely has a lot of sugar in it. So, you know, it's kind of have to pick and choose. But those are a few ways that have helped my clients kind of wean off of the soda, and then eventually weaning off of all to just, you know, flavored water, for instance, homemade.
Right. Very good. Anything else? We're kind of getting close to the end. We're 22 minutes in. Anything else you wanted to make sure that our audience knew about?
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess I would just really have to say is don't try to go cold turkey, you know, because you've heard it's good for you, or, you know, drinking this instead of that is better. But just really try to take it, like I said, day by day and find healthy swaps that work for you, because what works for me, well, may not work for you or you, Eric. And it's really just about making those simple swaps. And I actually have a great document about clean eating swaps that I have on my website. So you can go on there and download it. And it's a really helpful way to kind of cleanse from junk food and make those clean eating swaps.
Excellent.
And I think that is a great start to making healthy eating a lifestyle.
Very good. I know there are going to be some people listening, and they may want to track what they're doing. Do you recommend journaling it for a few weeks just to see how their habits are? What would you say for people who want to start this journey?
Yes. I am a huge advocate of a daily food journal. I do it myself every day, even, you know, today, and it really helps me to see, you know, I gauge how my mood was, my energy, how my stomach was feeling, you know, my digestive system, everything. So I definitely recommend a daily food journal, especially in the beginning, to start out this process.
And what would they include in the journal? I mean, specifically?
Yeah. Specifically, I have a section for you know, breakfast, snack, lunch, snack, dinner. And so I have a little section for that. I mark in there how my my was. I have, you know, little, I write, you know, my mood was, I was happy today. I was, you know, a little unmotivated or whatever it may be. And then I have a section for my energy levels, how I was feeling from waking up to going to bed throughout the whole day. I have a section for, did I exercise today? And I even have a section, obviously, for what I drank throughout the day also. I think those are kind of the main things. And also, of course, the way your digestive system is, I also think, can show a lot about your food intake.
All right. Absolutely. That's a good point. That's a good point. If there's one thing that I think most people have is emotional eating issues. And then some are good and some are not so good. Can you address that real quick if someone has that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, for me, what I have found has worked really well for anybody who has emotional eating is really to be mindful, A, of what you're eating and how you're feeling when you're eating. Thinking of the food as nourishing your body instead of just something to eat. And also, just sit down and slow down. Slowing down and to really breathe, focusing on, you know, I guess exactly what is at hand instead of being distracted. Another top one there, I believe, is meditation. Can be key.
Excellent. You know, someone had mentioned to me in a past podcast about how to eat, and she was talking about, you know, eat with your fork and then put down the fork, chew your food until it's gone, and then pick up the fork again. What do you think about that?
Yes. Oh, I think that's great. And I think it's so important because, you know, the way your body works really starts with what you're putting in your mouth, right? And if you're chewing it really fast or eating really fast, it can mess up your whole system. Not only your digestive system, but the way your mind thinks. You know, it takes about 20 minutes for your mind to register your stomach full. So I totally agree with that. And even make it a competition with yourself. Try to chew one bite 20 times. And, you know, then you really are focusing on your chewing and swallowing instead of scarfing something down. So yeah. I think the fork idea is really, really great.
Right. And I'm sure you get people who just say they're so busy and they just got to eat as fast as they can. And that's part of the other issue, isn't it? Time management, maybe?
Oh, yes. You know, everyone says that they're too busy for breakfast or too busy to cook a meal for dinner. And I know, I've been there. You know, life gets busy. Yeah. But my biggest point there would be to try to focus on meal prep. That doesn't mean spending 3 hours every Sunday. That can be as simple as making extra food for dinner and to have leftovers for lunch the next day.
You know, that's a whole new podcast. Maybe we could go into that sometime down in the future. We just have a few more minutes, and I don't want to cut you off. Was there any last tips or strategies you wanted to share? And then you can tell everyone how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think I covered, you know, most of my tips and strategies. I could talk about this all day, Eric. I have so many more. But, you know, to keep it short, I just, you know, I think that most people don't know how good their body is designed to feel. And I know that just by taking a few simple steps, you know, focusing on one thing a week, you know, if it's, okay, this week I really want to try to cut down on my pop intake, for instance, Eric, because me and you, you know, both, we know how we feel about that. You know, so it's maybe to focus on one specific thing for 1 week. And then maybe next week it's, okay, only have it one day. And then eventually it'll be gone out of your life. And so that's my biggest tip, I think.
Very good. Excellent. How do people get a hold of you?
Yeah, definitely. I think the best way to get a hold of me is on my website, through my website, which is www.livewellwithcara.com. There is a form there to contact me, and I think that's the best way to get a hold of me. My phone number and email address is also on my website.
Absolutely. You have Facebook and everything too?
Oh, yes. I have all platforms. you name it.
Excellent. We'll make sure that we put all those links in the show notes. Carl, this was a fun episode. Went pretty fast, and I'm sure we may have to do another one about some other topics. But really appreciate your knowledge, time, full of wisdom here. And now I'll just say thank you, and I'll let you go.
Okay, thank you so much, Eric, for having me on the show. I really appreciate it, and can't wait to do another episode with you sometime soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today on Healthy Living with Eric Sue. Head over to ericwsue.com for full recaps of every show in Eric's health and wellness blog. Your healthy living life is waiting for you. So stay active and be safe.